This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 344, recorded Wednesday, April 5th, 2017, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. I know you like that last note.
I do.
So it is April 5th. It is actually it's actually 11 o'clock where we normally record at 10.
And we have been recording for an hour, so I think it's time to wrap it up.
We have been? I just got here.
Well, that was a really good show.
Oh.
You were quite entertaining.
I was? I don't remember. I was blinded. There was a big puff of fire.
Wow. Hibachi does that.
Yes, I went to a kosher hibachi restaurant here in Queens.
They have kosher hibachi?
Apparently they do.
Wow. How do you do that?
Well, I don't know. At the end, I had my parents are in town, as is my brother and my niece. We were all there. At the end, my mother asked the gentleman who was doing the cooking, the hibachist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that what they call it?
I don't know.
Well, where did you learn all this stuff? He did give her an answer.
On the job training?
No, YouTube.
I believe it. You can learn anything.
I should watch more YouTube. But
you know what I'm learning on YouTube right now?
What?
Oddly relevant. So I am going to replace the head unit in my vehicle, and I want to replace it with something that's not horrible. Did you know that there are head units that run Android?
Like, yes, I did. I researched this, but I did not want
Android Auto, although there are Android Auto ones. I mean, just straight Android.
Yes, I did know this. I just didn't want to take apart the front of my car in order to get one.
I'm thinking I'm gonna. Because that's just straight awesome.
I'm just convinced that it would never look as nice as it did now. I don't know if I have the artistry for what you're suggesting.
I don't know if you do either.
So we have a bit of housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
So next Wednesday is still part of Passover.
There's a Passover?
Yes. Passover starts on Monday night. Now, let me try to explain what the technical problem is. Let me just get my list of Jewish holidays here. Okay. So Passover this particular year, that's of course 5,777, runs from Monday, the evening of the 10th, through Tuesday and Wednesday. So Tuesday after dark, I am available, but my concern is that I might not have some show notes. So what I wanted to ask you first is, what would you mind if I am not fully prepared that day, or do you want to move to the next day where I'd be better prepared?
I'm fine with you not being fully prepared.
Okay.
I'm not fully prepared every day.
Well, I'll write up some show notes on Sunday and Monday. So I will stop the count Sunday, midday on Monday. Okay. I just won't have any news from Tuesday, which I normally do. So it'll be one day less of news. Then we get to the evening of the 19th, where I will be available with no change.
Okay, so we're just looking at, we're going to do it Thursday instead of Tuesday. Or Thursday instead of Wednesday.
No, you said you were fine with me doing it on Wednesday, if I'm not prepared.
Okay, cool, great. Yep.
Now the following, the 19th, I am available. It may be some of the same where I may be a little short, but I will try to catch up on my reading as quickly as possible. Then we get to the 26th of April. That's also a Wednesday. On the 26th, for the first time in 5 years, my boss is sending me on a business trip.
Sweet.
Yeah, he was going to do that last year, but he didn't. He has told me that this is confirmed, and I'm very disappointed because I had a dentist appointment on the 26th, and now I'm going to have to reschedule.
Oh.
But you know how a hotel room, a Wi-Fi, is not necessarily the best for recording?
Yes, I do.
I am suggesting, because of that reason, that we take a hiatus that particular week.
Okay.
And then I don't have anything planned because I gathered from what he said that my boss intends to keep me in town for as long as possible doing the same thing I'm doing now. Oh, well, I get to go somewhere.
That's good.
So that should cover the rest of the month. Do you have anything coming up I should know about?
Not that will interfere.
Okay. So the next time I talk to you next week, I will be sitting in the woods eating matzah. And that's pretty much it. Well, it is the bread of affliction, so I may sound afflicted. But at least it's time off from work. I haven't taken any this year. I need a break. They're really, I'm not going to say cracking the whip. They're really making me do things, and I'd like to not do things for a couple of days, even if it involves the alternative of having to eat matzah. Which is not my favorite thing to do. I think last year I threatened to actually send you a box, didn't I?
I don't know.
I think every year I threaten to send you a box.
Are you going to threaten to send me a box this year?
Have you ever had it?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm trying to decide.
While you threaten it, I don't believe you've ever actually gone through with the threat.
Yeah, but if you had a box of matzah showing up, would you eat it?
I don't know. What is it? I mean, what do you eat it with?
Whatever you want.
I mean, is it going to go with ketchup? Is it an ice cream condiment? I mean...
Think of it like eating a flat piece of cardboard.
So Miracle Whip and ham.
The irony of you putting ham on matzah is not as... Beside, whatever you want to put on it. But I may, one of these years, I may come up with that threat. So let's talk about something vaguely Android-related.
But before we do...
Yeah?
Was that ironic?
Why was what ironic?
Putting ham on matzah?
Putting a food that is closely associated with the Jewish holiday together with a food that no Jew would eat, or at least no Jew who is observant.
Wait a minute. You can't eat ham?
Nope.
Ham comes from the same place as bacon.
I don't eat that either.
Oh, you poor, poor man.
I have never eaten anything that came out of a pig.
Bacon doesn't come out of a pig. It is a pig.
Again, you know what? I'll stand by my statement. I have never eaten anything that is inside that has ever been part of a pig either.
Bacon is like, wow.
I've had beef bacon.
No, there's pig bacon. It's
not going to happen.
Okay. I mean, I believe that if God himself was to come down to the planet Earth and say, I'm going to make y'all, that breakfast would include bacon. Because
I respect your conception of your supreme deity, or your conception of a supreme deity wanting to give you bacon. That is not my conception of a supreme deity.
As a Protestant, with me as a Protestant, and you as a, I don't know, is there any other word besides Jew?
I'm not offended by, you know, it could be more specific, but yeah, that's an acceptable.
Okay. With me as a Protestant, and you as a Jew, don't we basically have the same overall deity? I mean, we may disagree on the role of Jesus, but...
Well, I'm saying conception there. That's why I said conception of. Ultimately, I would agree with you, we do, but I'm referring to our conception of... that particular deity. We differ on conception. We do not differ on the fact that there is such a...
Well, I'm sure, you know what? I'm sure if it... God could come up with a kosher version of bacon.
Yes, it's called beef bacon. It is bacon made of beef.
That just... Maybe... I don't know. Okay. Cool. Interesting. I was unaware of the anti-pig thing.
There's also no shellfish. No lobster.
That doesn't bug me.
Okay. Just pig products.
There's no pig thing, though. I kind of agree with the no shellfish thing. I'd go so far as to say no fish.
I'm fine with fish. I love a good salmon. Fish.
You can have salmon for breakfast. I'll have bacon.
Why would I have salmon for breakfast? Salmon's a lunch.
Is it?
Or a dinner food, depending on how much salmon you want.
Okay.
Anyway, do you want to talk about PAX?
I don't think this is a story.
It's a point of interest.
Okay. So PAX. Okay. PAX is the Latin word for peace, right? So it is the Android Network cross-license agreement where a bunch of companies like Google, Samsung, LG, Foxconn, HMD Global, HTC, Coolpad, BQ, and all of you, they came together and they formed this group. And the whole idea of the group is that if you're in the group, then you can use any of the patents that the other people have that are Android-related or Android ecosystem-related without licensing. Or you're automatically licensed in there.
Yeah.
Right? That's the essence of this. So if you're not in the group, or if you have no patents, then you're out of luck. So this doesn't actually open anything up unless you have your own patents and thus have something to offer. Right?
Well, the question is, I have to look again. Did they explicitly say that if you didn't have any patents, you couldn't join and say that if you had a patent in the future, you have to put something in?
They did not say that, but... What do you think?
I don't know. I would think that basically you'd have to put something in, but it doesn't expressly say that.
I would agree that you should offer the group something if you want them to accept you into the group. So if you don't have anything to offer, you're not allowed into the group. And therefore, you must pay royalties on the 23,000. I'm sorry. I forgot a zero. 230,000 patents that these groups bring to the table.
That's a lot of patents.
Wow.
But as I said, I'm sure that if you have a nice chat with them, they can work something out.
Okie dokie.
Anyway, Google is moving their Android issues to a new issue tracker that they use for other Android products.
other Google product.
Oh, excuse me. Did I say Android? Excuse me. Other Google products. You are correct.
Right. If you have an issue with their DNS server, then, you know, the 8.8.8.8, then this is issuetracker.google.com is where you go to file a bug.
I find it interesting that they got rid of code.google.com and moved those people over to GitHub. Meanwhile, they still have their own issue tracker. I'm not saying I disagree with that.
I think it makes sense.
Windows popularity has been eclipsed by Android among internet users.
And this story comes under the title of misleading title.
Okay.
And I say that because, what were the numbers? 37.91 is not eclipsed by
97.93. So you're saying because it's just 0.02%, it's not yet significant enough?
I'm sorry.
Or it's not yet eclipsed?
It's not yet eclipsed.
Okay. I did use an article that used the term eclipsed.
You did.
I did not necessarily think that it was eclipsed, but that was the article I referenced.
And let's also notice that the fallibility of this particular stat, because it's using stat counter, which is
not necessarily,
or it's coming from websites. So,
and it is among internet users, which would be for the most part websites
or apps. So basically, okay, now let's now to be completely fair, there are way more Android devices than there are Windows devices.
Agreed.
I think it's showing some significant advancements in the Android operating system and hardware.
Okay.
The people are just straight browsing the web on their phone, and in numbers greater than they browse the web on their Windows devices.
Well, that's probably true for me because I often, you know, in the past I would curl up with a book. I often curl up and do my reading on my phone because I don't as often have a physical book by the fact that books take up space and I ran out of space for books.
And I think phones are just becoming a straight replacement for computers for a lot of people.
Not for everything. But for reading I do it, but for doing stuff I can't type very effectively or very fast on a phone or very accurately.
Right, but you know, I believe historically the majority of computer usage by your average person has been email, YouTube, Facebook, stuff like that, right?
That's why Chromebooks are so popular.
And you can do that on your phone anywhere now. You don't have to be at home. Now, granted, for people like you and I that maybe want or use bigger screens or do things that are not email, Facebook, and whatever, you know, you and I can't go to a phone-only mode of accessing the internet. But I think a lot of people can.
I'll accept that.
So that's why I think this is, I have to be honest, I am surprised by these numbers, but once shown them, they kind of make sense.
As I said, I see no problem with that theory. Anyway, let's see what else we have here. Apple Music for Android has been updated with a new interface. I don't really care because I don't use it, but I'm sure somebody does.
I'm going to agree with you.
You're sure somebody cares?
I don't care.
Okay. Google is prompting developers to add release notes for new app versions. My prediction is those release notes will say miscellaneous bug fixes.
Right.
I hate that, by the way.
It's a required field, but yeah. If they leave it blank, then the update won't happen. But so they're just going to put some random noise in.
It would be nice if they occasionally said, go here to see actually what it is, or we did this and this. Sometimes there's just not that much to say, but sometimes they're just too lazy to say it.
Sometimes the answer is miscellaneous bug fix.
That's why I said sometimes there's nothing to say. Sometimes there's really nothing that your changelog can actually say that would be helpful to people. But sometimes I've seen major changes and they didn't bother to say anything. So I understand if your change is not worth talking about. But sometimes your change is worth talking about and you don't talk about it anyway. Is that a fair statement?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Anyway. So an Israeli security researcher took a look at Samsung's Tizen, which...
Can I ask a question, though?
Yes.
I was looking at this. Why is it relevant in the headline that he was Israeli? We don't say an American security or a British security. He's a security researcher. Why does it matter what country he's from?
I believe saying that he's an Israeli security researcher adds credibility.
Okay. I'm just more saying that where you're from doesn't affect your ability as a security researcher. Although there are a lot of good tech teams in Israel, but there are also a lot of good tech teams other places.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know if it adds credibility because of where they are from. if you said that a researcher with the blank institute in Israel or with a company that has a reputation, and as I said, it has nothing to do with Israel. It's more of a general company.
Okay.
But anyway, he labeled it.
I would say that due to my own pre-existing stereotype, or due to my pre-existing system of stereotypes, saying that he is an Israeli security researcher adds credibility.
Okay, I'm agreeing with you. There are a lot of good security researchers. It's a very
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I have that pre-existing stereotype.
Yeah, but I will say, as a fact, there's a big tech industry in Israel, and as a result, there are a lot of good people there.
Okay, so Samsung has this operating system called Tizen, right?
It's what they wanted to do so they wouldn't have to play with Android.
And apparently this security researcher from somewhere said it is, and I quote, maybe the worst code that he's ever seen.
As many as, let's see, no less than 40 zero-day vulnerabilities.
Now, all of those vulnerabilities allow for remote code execution, which is pretty much the absolute positive worst class of vulnerability.
Don't forget that their store allowed the researcher to inject malicious code into his TV, also running Tizen. Even authentication measures weren't enough. He used a vulnerability to hijack the software before the security protocols activated. So basically, this shows that Samsung lacks any basic code development or review processes.
Yep.
Everywhere in Tizen is a function called strcpy, string copy, which is a function that's easily exploitable and not used anymore because of it.
Do you want to know why?
Yes.
Okay, so in the C world, strings are basically, they're characters. And you know when you've reached the end of the string because you see a character with the value of zero. So strcpy, you give it two strings or two pointers that are the strings, and it will loop over the source string and right into the destination string until it runs into a zero. So if you give it a non-null terminated string, then it could conceivably go on forever, and it doesn't do any memory bounds checking, so it will keep writing past the end of the destination string as well. It's really bad.
Let's see. They failed to use SSL encryption in certain areas during specific data transmissions, and his attempts to contact Samsung to discuss this were met with automated responses. Further lack of definitive information.
That is also bad. I mean, okay, so Tizen is brand new, right?
Well, it's based on an older. Parts of it are brand new, but parts of it are based on an older system they had.
It hasn't undergone a whole bunch of people beating on. And let's not be, you know, to be fair, Linux and Windows and OS X or OS or Macintosh is operating system, or Apple, both of Apple's operating system, have their fair share of security vulnerabilities.
The difference is usually, I'm not going to say that companies miss few security vulnerabilities. This clearly suggests they didn't even have anybody look independently to see whether or not there was anything obvious.
There are also automated tools that would have caught some of it.
Yeah, what I'm saying is it shows a lack of concern for security, which is a concern in itself, as opposed to another company where they may have done a security audit or have another team at their company or an independent team look at the thing, but something slipped through. These were just so basic that it suggests that nobody there had any experience in protecting against them.
And not only that, but when he tried to contact them to with regards to these bugs, the system for dealing with security vulnerability reports appears to be inadequate as well.
Non-existent.
So I would say, if the things that this report claims are true, and I have no reason to believe that they aren't, Tizen may not be an ideal choice if you care about security.
I will agree with that. Congress is trying to make the Register of Copyright a political position, which it has remained not political since it was created in 1897. You know that one of the things I've followed over the course of the show is the Library of Congress.
Yes.
I mentioned when there was a new Librarian of Congress. The current Librarian of Congress is the first one in decades who actually was trained as a librarian. Surprise, surprise there. And is trying to do things, forbid. So Congress is basically trying to take the copyright authority away from the Library of Congress, where the Library of Congress appoints the Register of Copyright, which makes it a non-political appointee. They want it to be a political appointee. So basically, copyright can be destroyed rebuilt, destroyed, rebuilt like every other part of government every 48 years. I'm feeling very cynical about government lately, mostly because one group gets in power, they do everything they want, and the other group spends the next few undoing everything they did. Then the next group spends another 4 years undoing everything the previous group. And I'm not speaking with regard to any party. I'm just feeling disillusioned with the whole process.
I understand.
So this is very concerning because copyright is something that lobbyists would really like to change. And it's bad enough that the government has agreed to keep extending copyright because of the whole Mickey Mouse thing. You've heard me talk about things that would be in the public domain if the copyright laws had not been changed to make it an unrealistic length of time.
Yes.
Also disappointing. But I could talk about that all day and have. So something a little more interesting. On April 3rd, 1973, Motorola demonstrated the Dynatac phone. So it is the 44th anniversary of the first cellular phone. Or, since there's some dispute about that, the first commercially popular cellular phone. Comcast, AT&T, and Verizon have said even though it is now legal, they won't sell your individual browsing history. Because all three of those companies have proven extremely trustworthy in the past, so we should trust them now. I'm sorry, Jerry, I know you trust Comcast.
Oh, man. Man, I don't even know what this is.
I still haven't figured out how any government official can explain why it is they voted to allow companies to sell your individual browsing history, regardless of whether they think that company will actually do it.
I don't know.
Okay. Twitter has replaced their default egg picture with a more generic image that looks like a person.
Woo!
Crayola has announced that the color that they're retiring from their pack of crayons is going to be dandelion.
What?
You didn't hear about this?
No, dandelion.
It's been very distressing lately. I can't count on the pieces in Monopoly. I can't count that when I open up my Crayola crayons, there's going to be a dandelion in there. Doesn't it feel like they're destroying, you know, classic things piece by piece? I'm feeling very...
Let's move on.
Yeah. But I'm allowed to, you know, give it its moment of silence.
Sure.
Smartphones may be behind an unprecedented rise in pedestrian deaths. And I just wanted to say, Jerry, we're worried about you. When you're ingressing, please make sure that you look both ways before crossing the street.
Dude, okay. One might think that by observing a bunch of people going around or walking around on their phones, one would not be able to tell which are playing Pokemon and which are playing Ingress, because they're both very similar activities, right?
That's Okay, so I'm walking down the street.
Hold on. Do you know how you can tell the difference, or how you can tell whether someone is playing Ingress or Pokemon Go?
I was just about to ask that.
Ingress players pay attention to the world around them.
Are you sure of this?
I'm positive. Well, with few exceptions, but by and large, Pokemon Go our players tend to have their nose in their phone and don't know anything going on around them, whereas Ingress players tend to pay attention.
Okay, I hope that bears out with some scientific research.
What? My anecdotal story is not enough for you? You want, like, actual science?
Usually, yes. I do trust you, but that one I don't know if I can support.
Okay.
And finally, Google has unveiled a new site to highlight open source projects and processes. Isn't that interesting?
Opensource.google.com.
Yeah, and they support a technology that I was just talking about the other day, Fragmention. I find Fragmentions very interesting.
So far, the projects that they have on here are, ooh.
I want to hear about the ooh.
A project called Bad Wolf. It says it's a temporal graph abstraction, a temporal graph store abstraction layer.
Okay.
Neat. Okay, so should I explain what that means?
Yes.
Okay, so historically, databases have stored information in basically rows and columns, right? Well, there's another way of relating it on a graph, and it's basically where you have these objects or documents or points or nodes, what they're called, and they relate to and connect to other nodes. Much to where it looks like a roadmap, where cities are nodes and the roads between them are edges, the technical term for them. And edges can be bidirectional or one directional or whatever. It's an excellent way of representing a social. You may have heard the term social graph.
I have.
Well, that's what it's talking about. It's, you know, you as a person are a node, and you have edges that link you to the people that you are connected to. And then those people are connected to other people, and you may be to some of them too. And well, okay, so that is a graph. A temporal graph would be a graph along with how it changes over time. So neat.
I believe we've run out of things to talk about.
So anyway, if you're looking for some cool stuff, go by opensource.google.com. They've also got TensorFlow on there and Boring SSL. That's a good project.
I've heard of Boring SSL.
Yeah, it's OpenSSL without all the stuff nobody needs or uses that adds security vulnerabilities.